maybe I could do more.
Yeah.
I could do more. I could be more responsible. I could do more things, be more Christ-like, and just bring Jesus to people in such a way that's different than what I'm doing now. So I felt challenged. It was a big-time challenge. But in the end, it's like, you know, this is going to be worth it. I know it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. But just do it. Don't be scared. Mm-hmm. You know, don't.
And that's with any vocation, any calling that you get, any, like,
right.
tug at your heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't ask us to do easy things.
No, it's not. He doesn't call you to be comfortable, put it that way.
Yeah.
He calls you to, you know, put in the work. You know, you're going to have to suck it up sometimes, and it's tough, but, you know, it's all worth it. It's for his glory.
Peace and blessings. My name is Khalil Hattar.
Andrew Wolf.
Ray Caratini.
I'm Louis Kane.
And welcome to the Catholic Life Podcast, where we're discussing anything and everything under the sun through the eyes and heart of the Catholic Church.
Everything.
Anything. So we've got a new newcomer on set. Ray, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, gentlemen.
Yeah.
You?
We're doing great.
Good. We are doing well.
Yeah. I can tell.
What do you think of the podcast?
Yeah. Thank you. So far, this is a...
So far, pretty, so good?
So far, so good. Great yeah. setup.
Awesome.
What was the logic behind the red and the blue lights? Was that because we've got a sheriff on deck?
Well, the blue light's probably for the police.
That's what I thought.
And I'm not a firefighter, so I don't know where the red comes from.
First responders, okay?
All first right, responders.
There you go.
Is that why, Bob?
Yes, that's why.
Oh, that's so thoughtful.
Wow.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, we've got a little white light here, too. So red, white, and blue. America.
On Jesus.
Merca.
On Jesus.
Jesus first.
That's
Jesus
right.
First.
And if you haven't picked up a Jesus first yard sign, if you live in the St. John area, shameless plug. Ray, thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're excited to have you for the conversation.
Thanks.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Obviously, we know you, but who are you?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, my name is Ray Caratini, for all those out in podcast land. member of St. John Evangelist Parish. Been here for, about 14 years?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Close to that, give or take. Round off a couple of years or so. I'm also a detective for our local sheriff's department here. Been doing that. I'll be approaching about 20 years, maybe in, sometime in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's like I see the light at the end of the tunnel.
20 years yeah. here?
In 20 years county? As a policeman, yeah.
yeah.
As
that's
a policeman,
total.
Yeah. Well, total I have about 24 years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I've been in other states.
Yeah.
I've lived in New York City. The fast and the exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, were you a police officer in New York?
Yes, I was in law enforcement there, yep.
Okay.
And then I was in law enforcement in Florida. Lived there for a brief time, for a couple of years. So I went from one extreme to the other, and now, you know, went from a concrete jungle to corn and relaxation.
Corn and relaxation, yeah. Is that how you describe St. John?
That's how I describe Indiana, for all intents and purposes.
That's to contrast it with New York, right?
Yes, yeah.
Well,
New York is big buildings and giant rats.
Wow.
That's the opposite of how I contrast Indiana compared to Iowa.
Well, I would have.
What would that be for Iowa? Because you can't say relax.
I mean,
comatose?
The cornfields.
Comatose.
You guys are so chill.
Man.
Comatose.
That's almost so far that it's
too, that's too chill. Is that a vice? That's too chill?
That's like actually too far.
What?
He's grounded.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Well, what does that mean?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Your shoes
off. Okay.
Oh,
okay.
Louis' grounding process.
That's like his USA. USA.
Yeah.
That's...
But that could be the new model, Governor Holcomb, if you're looking for a new model for Indiana.
Well, shout out to Governor Holcomb.
That's right.
First time on the show.
What was it? Cornfields and relaxation.
Cornfields and relaxation for a guy from the East Coast.
And so you went New York, Florida.
And then here.
Here.
And then here.
Okay. And you're a member of St. John the Evangelist Church?
I am. Yep. Been to this wonderful parish. 14 years, I think. So more or less.
It's kind of weird to think that. So I was 9 years old when you... came to St. John. So just so you know, I thought that was important to mention. So
that's right. There's not a gray hair on your head, Ray.
I mean,
it throws you off.
I know. It just and then, know. You can tell just by the blackness of my gray beard.
The richness of it.
Yeah. That's all the battle scars.
Hey, I keep my hair trim and the beard, but when I let it go, man, it's like
You said it gets red.
Well, the beard gets, it's weird.
Yeah.
If I let the beard grow out, it actually gets red tips. Well, I don't know where that came from.
Weird.
Because I'm 100% hair.
Huh.
But the hair, the grays, man, I don't know where they came from. It was like overnight. I looked in the mirror one day. It's like, what
Wait,
is
do you think it was
on?
After I got employed here?
You're young.
I think it has something to do with it. Man, it probably started with Andrew. Man. And then it was Louie.
Nothing to do with having a baby.
No, the baby's an angel. No, I love the baby. Baby's great. Yeah.
Well, so are mine, but I still got gray hair.
So you're married, kids?
Yes. Okay. Married to my lovely wife, Lynette.
Shout out, Lynette.
Lynette, what's up, babe?
I like it.
See you at home soon. Three wonderful kids. Daughter just turned 26.
Okay. Yeah,
so see when we're talking about
older
age,
than me.
Older, yeah. Wow. See. So she's 26 and two boys.
How old?
Joshua is 13. Well, Selena, my daughter, she's 26. My youngest is Eli, and he's 8.
Right on.
Awesome.
So, wonderful.
And
love
then
being a dad.
You're also discerning the diaconate?
I am. Yep. I am. And that is, if you would have asked me 10 years ago if that was on my mind, it would have been like, you're crazy. You're nuts. That's like nowhere near the horizon for me. But
to be a deacon.
To be a deacon, yes. Of all people. Of all people.
So, what made you take the steps to start?
It was, you know what? It was a long, long kind of arduous process. But it was, it wasn't anything like a miraculous where you see a sign in a dream and stuff. It's just like little signs. I've been part of this parish for a while. And as you guys know, we have the charismatic movement here. Well, I was a part of that for a while. And we started doing these Life in the Spirit seminars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool.
So the first one that we did, well, we had to advertise it, you know, put in a bulletin and all that stuff because, you know, it's the inaugural one. And, you know, we wanted to, you know, have a good showing and stuff.
Sure.
So they asked me to do a pulpit announcement on it. And I was like, okay, well, it's no problem. Mm-hmm. So I guess somebody approached Father Mileta on it. And Father said, yeah, he gave it the go-ahead. So obviously I was thrown in the mix. And I did the pulpit. But, well, before I did the pulpit announcement, Father says, you know, he calls me over and he goes, you got 2 minutes. 2 minutes, because it was
he gave you 2 minutes?
Gave me 2 minutes.
Wow. That's
2 minutes.
That's a lot of time.
That's a lot of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened. I can't even remember what I said, but when I got done, he approached me in a narthex and he just asked me, Did you consider, you know, being a deacon? And I was like, you know, I was floored by that because first of all, I didn't know him as well as I do now. And it's like I have my pastor asking me that, and he doesn't know me from Adam.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a
good way of like, Father's got these moments where it's almost like the Holy Spirit like sparks something in him and then he acts on it.
Yeah.
That's got to be one of those moments. I mean, you hear somebody talk for 2 minutes. You don't think, hey, I'm going to ask him if he wants to commit his life to, you know, holy orders. But it's got to be one of those moments.
To him, it's probably, man, this guy could do some homilies. So he's
Well, he probably recognized the spirit in you. It's got to be.
Yeah.
I'm good. Well, I'm glad he did because, you know, I wouldn't be here. But I mean, we had that little brief moment, and he just asked me. And I didn't think anything of it after that. It was just like, you know, I felt honored. But I've also been part of the Iron Disciples men's ministry here for a lot of years. And just talking to the guys and you know, trying to bring them closer to Christ and, you know, just talk about man stuff.
Sure.
You know, and I just kept hearing it from other people. Hey, why don't you consider it? Why don't you consider it? So that was like, that started to be a big sign for me because it's like, I'm not only hearing it from Father, but I'm hearing it from other people. There's got to be something to this. There's got to be something to this calling. But I don't know what to make of it because I was like, I'm not cut out for this. So I'm just, I don't think I'm going to do it.
Why'd you not cut out for it?
Because I didn't think I was ready, number one. And number two, I didn't think I was holy enough.
Oh.
Did not think I was holy enough.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, I mean, who is? Mm. Who is? We're human beings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we make mistakes. I don't think we're ever going to be holy enough.
Yeah.
But
there's a line I love that says, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the call.
Correct.
And I love that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what you're saying too.
Yeah.
It's like not that you have to be, you don't have to have it all together before you go do something awesome for Jesus.
Yeah. And I really struggled with that because I always thought, oh man, I've been to Mass about a gazillion times since I was a kid, and I see deacons and I see priests I see the liturgy. I experience that. And it's like, man, that stuff is so technical. You put me up there and I'm guaranteed I'm going to screw it all up. I'm going to mess it all up. Mm-hmm. You know, I find
that hard to believe from an accomplished member of the sheriff department.
Well,
you guys probably do a lot more technical stuff on your
totally
side.
Totally different dynamic. Believe me when I tell you, it's totally just opposite of what church kind of is.
But you understand the concept of structure.
Yeah. Well, you have to.
Laying out a plan.
Yeah, well, you have to.
I mean, behind all of what you see happen at Mass.
Yeah, and you have to.
The bones of it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm a pretty regimented guy. I cannot function if everything's in chaos. Mm-hmm. If everything's in chaos, I'm like totally like out of my element. But if you give me a plan, and I'll follow through on that plan, and I'll accomplish it like really quick.
So at what point did you say, okay, I'm gonna take this step towards the diaconate a bit more seriously. I'm gonna act on it.
It's funny because it was a moment at my house, and it was just a conviction hit me. It's like when I have two boys, and when my boys don't do what I ask them to do, son, go clean your room. Son, do your homework. And when they don't do it, it's like, for me, it's like, man, you know, my kids aren't listening to me. I'm your dad. You're supposed to be doing what I ask you to do. Do what I tell you to do. Mm. Okay? And there was one moment when my oldest son didn't do what I asked him to do. He committed a felony in my house.
That's what it's like.
You got wrapped by all the kids.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's gonna do some time in his room.
That's what it's like to be raised by a police officer.
Hey. You're gonna abide by the Caratini law. That's the Constitution in my house.
You grow up with a rap sheet.
That's right. I got a whole laundry list of all your crimes and misdemeanors.
There you go.
And then it was really profound because it's like, man, it's like that's kind of what I'm doing to God. You know, God's my father, and I'm telling him, no, I'm not gonna do it. I'm not gonna do it. It's not for me. I'm not cut out for this. I don't want this. And it was just like, I felt this conviction that God was saying, I am your father. Mm. You're going to do what I tell you to do, no matter whether you like it or not. Mm. And it was like, okay, you know, I started, you know, as the days passed by, I started to really understand that it's like, listen, just let God take over that. Let him guide you and just do what he asks you to do. Just be obedient. Don't be such a coward. You know, answer the call.
Step up.
Yeah, step up to the plate. Be a man.
Yeah.
So for me, that was like, okay, I made the decision. And I said, I'm going to do it, whether I like it or not. And it may take a lot of my time. It may take a lot of effort. But I said, you know, why not? You know, why not? What do I have to lose? What do I have to lose? There's nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. This is a great opportunity to first of all, to say yes to God. I mean, you can say yes in many ways, but I mean, imagine just saying yes to a vocation like this. Mm-hmm. I said, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Mm. So for me, it was
how did you
like,
feel when you said yes? Like in that moment, in that silence between you and God, was there anything?
It's like, oh man, it's about to go down. It's like, about to go down.
In like a good way?
In a good way.
Okay. Yeah.
In a good way. Because I felt like, you know what? What else am I going to do? You know, I have my job. You know, I have my family. My friends, mm-hmm. and I'm doing stuff in the church, but maybe I could do more.
Yeah,
I could do more. I could be more responsible. I could do more things, be more Christ-like, and just bring Jesus to people in such a way that's different than what I'm doing now. So I felt challenged. It was a big time challenge, but in the end, it's like, you know, this is going to be worth it. I know it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard, but just do it. Don't be scared, mm-hmm. you know, don't.
And that's with any vocation, any calling that you get, any like
right.
tug at your heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't ask us to do easy things.
No, it's not. He doesn't call you to be comfortable, put it that way.
Yeah.
He calls you to, you know, put in the work. You know, you're going to have to suck it up sometimes and it's tough, but, you know, it's all worth it. It's for his glory. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same as being a dad. Well, you're a dad now. Mm-hmm. And you guys are going to be dads sometime in the future, God willing. And, you know, that's something it's work. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's tough. It's tough being a husband. It's tough being a father. It's tough working in any environment that requires you to sacrifice mm-hmm. and to give up yourself. Because we get too comfortable. You know, we sit around and it's like, okay, I'll go to Mass on Sunday and, you know, I'll do my little work. And then when it's done, Sunday's done, and I'll just sit back and just
coast
and just chill out.
Just want to check off the list.
And yeah, just check off the list.
Check out.
Mm-hmm.
So
check in and then check out and then check back in again. And you think you're doing everything the way you're supposed to do it. But in reality, it's like you have to sit and ask yourself, are you doing
it? It's really easy to have that minimalist attitude toward religion and faith and all that. Yeah.
For sure.
It's so interesting, too, because we can have that kind of check in, check out mentality and so many other things. Like your job, you could just be like, clock in, clock out. Your work could be like,
oh, we have a lot of those.
And I think that's part of the reason that it's so easy to have that same mentality, because we see it like in our culture in a lot of places. It's like even health. A lot of people, it's like, I just got to work out just to keep myself healthy, you know, check in, check out. There's a check in, check out attitude to so many things.
Yeah, it's kind of like just show up mentality.
Yeah.
And what people don't realize is when you mention a workout thing, but you go to the gym and you want to be, you want to feel healthy, you want to look healthy, but that stuff, it hurts. You got to put your body through some serious pain in order to get, you know, the outcome that you're seeking to you know, to achieve your goal. It's painful. It's not an easy ride.
So is that the slogan for the diaconate program? This is going to hurt a little bit?
It's going to hurt a little bit. That's right. That's
that been your experience?
That's been my experience. It's going to hurt a little bit.
It's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt. Yep. It's going to hurt bad. But you know what?
Being
it's going to hurt good.
Come easy to you, doesn't it?
Whatever, Khalil.
Whatever.
That's right. I'll take him under my wing.
There you go. Coach him. Coach him a little bit.
Yeah. He'll come back with baseball caps tilted to the side. And
there you go.
I'm definitely
as
the
long
most
as he doesn't
person.
Come back with a teardrop.
And a teardrop.
Oh, yeah. Man.
And baggy jeans. And
so what's that diaconate process been like for you? You said yes. You kind of discerned.
It's been long and hard.
How many years so far?
Well, it's been 4 years of lay ministry.
Yep.
And 2 years of formation.
Wait, you're going to be ordained with my dad,
June,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's Gary. Right. That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Gary Wolf.
God willing.
Andrew's dad.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. It's weird.
It's a long process, but it's worth engaging because, like you said, we don't want to paint this as like, this is tough. This is good tough. Like, this is the kind of tough you want to engage and you want, because you're engaging God in his plan for you.
And it's necessary.
I mean, do you regret any of it?
No.
Be honest. Like,
no, not at all. Wow. Listen, I've learned.
There's not a lot of people that listen to this, so you can be honest. Yeah.
I got to tell you, I've learned so much this whole process. I learned a lot about myself, first of all.
Yeah.
Because the honest truth, I've had many a moments where I just want to flip tables and say, I quit. I'm done. You know, I don't want any part of this. This is just it's too technical. I'm too stupid to understand this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a church guy. You know, I'm just a guy that loves Christ. But man, you give me the you know, E equals MC square of the church, and I'm gonna screw it up.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And I went through a lot of that. It was just like learning all these technical things, the liturgy and stuff, beautiful things, necessary for the church. But for a caveman like me, it's like, man, how do I learn this stuff? How do I apply this stuff?
Mm.
But over time, you get, and the more you attend Mass, the more you get to appreciate it, mm-hmm. what you've learned.
Yeah.
Because you know you're going to be applying it there on the altar.
Mm-hmm.
So you better have some semblance of I guess, not acceptance of it. Yeah, you accept it, but an appreciation for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned to appreciate that a lot. But it was a long time to...
You got to put in the work.
Just like to put in,
You got to put in the work.
Yeah, you got to do it. It's not a cakewalk. It's not a cakewalk. Yeah.
And then God's grace provides as well, where you think I'm going to lack.
Yep.
That's where he steps up, because you are discerning and engaging a vocation.
Yes.
To holy orders. Yep. I mean, that's where the grace part, you can't forget about that, right?
Yeah.
That's what.
No, because you're not doing this on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're not doing it. This is not about you. It's not about me.
Or it's not even about proving that you can do something hard.
Right.
You know, sometimes you can fall into that mentality too. Like, look, like, this is a really hard thing, so I'm going to like prove that I can do it. And it's like, if it's just like about you, then why are you doing it?
Yeah. And I've done that already. I'm a cop. You know, that's hard. I mean, who wants to be a cop nowadays? You know?
Yeah.
You can't do that. Nobody wants to do that now. But I've done that. So on a different level, on a spiritual level, that hard thing is like, wow, now I got to be responsible. Because I'm not only being responsible to, you know, to my family at home, but I got to be responsible to the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's heavyweight stuff.
Well, the church discerns with you right now.
Yep.
Right. That's why you go through a program. Yeah. There's mentors. There's people that walk with you.
Sure.
And so the church is discerning with you. So you feel called, but the church has got to say, you know what? Yeah, this guy is called. We're going to ask him to progress. We're going to ask him to move forward. The bishop, he's got to walk up to you and say, yeah, I'm going to lay my hands on you. You don't actually earn holy orders.
Correct.
That's given to you.
Correct.
It's not like a college degree.
And it's not great.
I fulfilled all the prerequisites. I got all my credits. Where's my degree?
Yeah.
It doesn't work the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just like anything else, it's not a cakewalk, and it's not for everybody. It's not for every guy. You know, every guy has a different vocation. Mm-hmm. God calls him different. But, you know, when the opportunity presents itself and the Spirit talks to you, it's just one of those things that you just got to open up your ears and your heart a little bit and be able to listen.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. But you have to be confronted with your own conscience as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have to really talk to yourself about this stuff and ask all the right questions. You know, is this going to be right for me and my family? Is this going to be right? The timing has to be right. Because this has had not only effect on me, but it's also had an effect on my family. I have young kids at home. So here I got to sacrifice time to go to class, to go to all these formation meetings and things like that that I'm required to go. And
That's like a whole nother level of discerning diaconate as a married man is like your marriage, being called to married life is your primary vocation still. So it's interesting having these two big callings in life. So.
Yeah.
But keeping them like in check so that the diaconate doesn't hurt the marriage, you know, it can be hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they stress a lot. I mean, your marriage is extremely important. I mean, you have to have the support of your wife. Mm-hmm. Have to have it. That's extremely important. You can't just go, you know, half step in and just do it on your own and leave your family at home. You can't do that because then you're abandoning one vocation and going to another. Yeah. It just doesn't.
They're always complementary.
Right. They have to work, you know, they have to work in conjunction with one another. And even better because it helps the marriage. It makes the marriage work. And I know my wife is like, man, you know, you've undergone some serious changes for the better.
Wow.
I'm like, thank God.
Yeah. Praise God for
that. Because, man, if I wasn't doing this, I'd still be stuck, you know, being somebody that I shouldn't be.
We've hit on vocations on the podcast before, but this is a topic we'll never exhaust or come to the end of. But we've got like a working definition of vocation, and that's living God's love in the world.
Yep. Mm.
So when you engage your vocation, that's what you're doing. You're trying to live God's love, and that love always transforms you.
Yeah.
And so I am grateful that you engaged your vocation.
Thank you.
You engaged God in that way, and you said, God, how do you want to love through me? And so if there are men, women out there that are discerning holy orders, priesthood, religious life, or marriage, or any vocation, really, it's just about talking to God and saying, God, what is it that you want me to do with my life in a way that glorifies you and glorifies your son's name and draws others closer to you? And so that's really the important thing. So praise God that you did that. I know Andrew was in seminary.
Yep.
I was in seminary. Mm-hmm. It's important for guys, even if you don't think I'm going to end up a priest, to just engage the process.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You can discern. It's okay. Like if you feel God tugging at your heart to say, you know, maybe there's something more to this priesthood thing or this deacon thing, or maybe I feel called to a life of prayer. I feel called to a life of, go ahead, reach out, you know.
Yeah.
You know, if you have to call us, we'll walk with you.
For sure.
And something Ray said too is it's like, in those initial stages, it's not going to be easy. It can be really challenging, and it seems frightening. Because I just remember discerning, particularly discerning out of seminary to start dating.
That's tough.
And I've been married for 8 months, or almost 8 months now. It was so scary, especially because like I almost felt like I did something wrong. Because like I knew I wasn't called to the priesthood. And then marriage actually seemed harder than the priesthood. So it was interesting how there were starting to become more selfish motives to stay in the seminary because, you know, college was, the cost was covered, didn't have to pay bills. There's just a lot of practical things that were like, yeah, this is easy.
Sure.
But in the midst of that, in prayer, there was like this immense peace in the idea of discerning marriage. And that's ultimately what I went to, even though I had to take on all those worldly things like bills, which suck. But, you know, here I am. I made it.
But you made it because that's what God wanted for you.
Yeah.
And it's funny. We're touching on this idea of like tension, right? You discerning out was tremendously hard for me. It shattered me. I mean, you want to talk about being torn down and then being built back up. But the beauty of it.
Like, what was that like for you? Like when you were going through that, like, I don't know.
Discerning?
Yeah. Or how did it shatter you?
Oh, dude, I use that word so intentionally.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened. Like, I'm comfortable at this point to even bring it up and talk about it. But.
Well, and it's important. I mean, you were just about to be ordained a deacon. You were like, you were 7 years in?
Six years in. So I was in for a while, which is like so unusual. I mean, it is. I mean, guys that usually get to, and it's not uncommon, And so I do want to reinforce, like, if you feel called to the priesthood, mm-hmm. engage your pastor, engage your that process wherever you are.
You know what? I look at it like this. It's, can you just imagine what this world would be like if our Blessed Mother had said, nope, I think I'll pass. You know, can you just imagine? We wouldn't be here. We would not be here, but God always has a plan. And just like that teenager, that young girl said, yes, I'm going to carry the Savior of the world. That's big. Now, compared to that, saying yes to a vocation, that's like small. Mm-hmm. But it's an opportunity to kind of participate in that yes. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I see it. And it took me a long while to really understand that. Because in the beginning, it was just, man, I got to do this. I got to be obedient. You know, I got to say yes to God. So it was more, you know, like a kid obeying his dad. Okay, dad, I want to please you. But again, as you grow into it, you start to understand these things. God opens up these rooms, mm-hmm. and you confront your own conscience, and you confront what you need to do to do his will. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that I faced was like, look, now what you're doing is you're saying yes. You're saying yes. Mm-hmm. Virgin Mary said yes, and look how the world turned out. we're a lot better for it. So why can't you? Mm-hmm. Why not? You know, why not?
Yeah.
Like I said, there's nothing to lose. Absolutely nothing to lose, mm-hmm. but a little bit of time.
Yeah.
But.
Well, and honestly with that.
But are you really losing time?
No.
No.
Yeah. I mean, you're not.
I look back at my time in the seminary. It was the richest time of my life. I mean, it made me the man who I'm today. It's why I still serve in a church, and I have a passion for, you know, the mission, and I have a passion for sharing Jesus, yep. not only just being a disciple myself, but doing whatever we can, whatever I can, to share that love and to draw others closer to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that's when you say yes, you don't necessarily know where the destination is going to be, mm-hmm. but that time just is so valuable because now you've given your time over to God, and he's going to use it, and he's going to mold you, he's going to shape you, he's going to touch others through you.
And basically what you've done is you've traded away a couple of things. You've traded away the time that you spend wasting time away, doing things that, you know, you don't necessarily have to do, mm-hmm. as opposed to utilizing your time in a way that's pleasing to God. Who doesn't want to please God?
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't want to do that?
And with that, I second exactly what you said. So I was in high school seminary for 4 years and then college seminary for a year and a half. But college seminary, tons and tons of debt and the time. And so when I first left, I was mad. I was like, why didn't I just like take a year off after high school and figure this out? But over the years, I've grown to see that seminary, that year and a half in college seminary, formed me into the man I am today, and especially molded a lot of virtues in me, and especially like my ability to love God and love others, mm-hmm. in ways that would have never happened if I wasn't mm-hmm. a seminary. So it was worth the tens of thousands of dollars of debt and all that. The other thing is for young people, a lot of the times they think if they enter seminary, that means they're a priest already, basically. Yeah. Like they've already made the commitment. Mm-hmm. Bishop Hying, our previous bishop, he often said that entering seminary, especially college seminary, was like dating with the idea of priesthood. Entering major seminary or the second 4 years is like being engaged. But then obviously you're not actually a priest until you're ordained.
It's a good analogy. It's a good analogy.
Like you can do a year and a half. You can do 6 years and you can still discern out. Mm-hmm. But those years can be extremely valuable in how they form you. So
yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that.
I think there's something with discerning a vocation of like, or maybe just like a call from God in general. It is like this time of, do I really trust God that like following him will bring me happiness, or like following him will actually be like the best life? And I think that's the reason sometimes there's so much tension in like saying that yes. And it's actually like, we don't really trust God. I think that like following him is good. Like his will is actually the best thing that could happen for me in my life. And to like have that like freedom of saying like, Jesus, I want to explore your will and not just like live on my own, because that actually is going to lead to emptiness.
Okay. I'm going to play devil's advocate and we're going to have a little fun with this.
Okay.
All right. How do you actually know that by saying yes to God, that's actually the best thing that could be for you?
Yeah.
Right. Obviously, if God were to come down with a sign and say, or actually manifest himself to you.
Yeah.
You know, clouds, just like Mary. You mentioned Mary before. An angel appeared to her.
Yeah.
And, you know, the angel, asked her, is this something you want to do? So how am I supposed to know and really believe mm-hmm. that thing that I think I should be doing is from God and that's the best thing for me?
Mm-hmm. I think there's lots of things you could look to. I think I would start with, what do you want? Like, what do you want in your life? And then, like, looking at those different aspects. I mean, we can want things that are bad for us. We can want things that are good for us. So, like, if I want to go sin or do something bad, obviously you're like, okay, that's not a good decision. But, like, if you want something and you're like, this is bringing me closer to God and closer to others, I think that's a sign that you might, maybe you should take a step in that direction. Like, if you want to go, if you like feel a desire to explore priesthood, if it's a good desire, take a step that way.
But you have to have a concept of what's actually sinful and bad for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In order to even make that decision.
Yeah.
So my immediate thought is that you need holy people that you can also talk to. Cause mm-hmm. I think knowing, cause you're right. Like, we can't see the future. You know, we can look in the past 2020 vision, hindsight, all that.
2020.
But cause prayer and if you have a good conscience can be huge guides. Yeah. Uh-huh. It was for me. But I really also needed the advice and counsel of holy people that God worked through them to further confirm what I was feeling.
What does it mean to be a holy person? Like, none of us are holy aside from Jesus and the Blessed Mother.
So this is like an entirely separate conversation.
No, it's not.
I think
what does it mean to be holy?
I think
when you say that to somebody, like, do I go down to my local Walmart and pick out a holy person? Like, what is that?
Yeah, yeah. So you order them on Amazon. Oh, drop it off via drone.
Prime?
They're on Prime. Oh. I didn't know that.
So,
man, I gotta order my.
Don't give Bezos any more ideas.
I think
taking over.
Well, it's so easy because, like, in my case, it was the priests at the seminary, okay. And then of course I'm surrounded by seminarians, most of whom would pray on a regular basis. I think holy people are those that, just follow the Great Commandment, love God and love others, but then, especially manifest that in having a daily prayer life, taking their faith seriously, and I think the primary thing is somebody that has a relationship with God,
somebody who's modeling. Yeah. That life of faith.
Yeah.
That's who you want to turn to.
Yeah. And I think, like I said, it's easy with people like priests because they've, made the vows, they've been ordained. Generally, you can assume they're holy. Of course, not always. So that's tricky. But
I think... You can see where it's still hard, though, where you're asking people to surrender their will.
Yeah.
Right? So I can no longer determine who I am and what I want to do. What's that all about?
That's a tough one, and I think I can answer that. I think the biggest
Ray's going to take a crack at it.
All right, Ray, you're up.
Because look, the fear of the unknown
mm-hmm.
is probably your greatest obstacle in moving forward.
Yeah,
it really is. And if you cannot cross that barrier of going from point A to point B, especially in a spiritual life, you're never going to progress, and you're never going to know what God has in store for you.
Mm-hmm.
So why not challenge yourself and take a chance? Mm-hmm. Why not? Yeah. I think later on you tend to find out that you pretty have nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it hurts sometimes, but what doesn't? I mean, that's life. Mm-hmm. That's life.
There is, like, in life there are unknowns. Like, tomorrow is an unknown.
It's not a guarantee that I can walk out of here and God knows what can happen right now. I don't know. My time is borrowed.
Yeah.
I'll borrow time. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So why not? Why not take a chance and just do it? Do it.
Do what?
Do something that's challenging to you, something that you think is a barrier and that you think it's in your way.
Yeah.
Take that sledgehammer and knock it out and then move.
And, like, don't be crippled by the unknown, Like,
Because it can be very crippling. And that's the one thing that I have a lot of regrets in life. It's like, man, I could have, should have, would have, type of deal. Imagine if I did this and didn't do this. I could have done a lot of things that I wanted to do.
Or, like, imagine, living.
I'm here now.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Sorry. It's like, imagine, like, living in freedom in the unknown. That, like, I can go into something that I don't know what's in the outcome of this. I don't know if it's going to work out. I don't know if they're going to like me. I don't know, whatever holds us back. And, like, imagine being freedom in that. Like, that fear doesn't have to paralyze me.
Absolutely not.
That feeling doesn't have to determine what I decide to do. Like the unknown, like, that's the best things happen in life when we take a step out of what we would normally do too. Like when we initiate a conversation with someone that we're scared to initiate a conversation with.
I don't know, guys. I'm still not convinced.
Because you left seminary.
Can you repeat your question, your original question?
Why should I surrender my my will, my desire for my life to God.
I think it has to be lived in context.
Why am I giving that up?
If you're not living in context of a relationship, you're never going to do it. But when I'm in a relationship with someone, I'm starting to build trust with them. I'm starting to know like how I can get closer with them. And then in that context of that relationship, then I can surrender myself to them because I know that that person is good. And it's the same thing that's true with God. Like when I am convinced that he loves me, I can start to trust when he's calling me into the unknown. And I can actually trust that, like when I'm able to receive more of him, I'm going to be more happy.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't know. It's well, I agree with you. Yeah. I think the trusting relationship that's important. I just have a problem thinking too much about the future because the future doesn't actually exist. That's not a real thing.
No, but it's not really the future.
There's
it's
only
like
the present.
You're asking somebody to say like, okay, I shouldn't really be making my own decisions and plans, which we plan. We make decisions. That's what separates us from lesser animals. We have the ability to reflect on our past and plan our future.
Yeah.
Right, so the adage "measure twice, cut once," so that's a good thing. And so what I'm hearing is, it's better for me to surrender those decisions to God. That's what I'm hearing.
I don't think that means that you have to totally stop doing what you're doing and just let God take everything. I mean, God expects a response from all of us in everything, whether it's church or just life. Period. I mean, you have to respond.
And it's more like letting God into those decisions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we're not like it's
good.
Not like,
I like
jumping
where that's
off.
Going.
It's not like jumping off a building because you thought
okay, yeah,
you're
okay,
insane.
God,
so you
I'm
thought God,
you, bye.
Yeah. So you just jump off.
Yeah.
Yep. Like God, like
catch me, God.
Invited in. Yeah. So we're still because we have free will. So it's like we're not supposed to just be like slaves to God,
right.
His children. So we're really supposed to like have this relationship with him and allow him to inform us and help us in those decisions.
It's like those decisions are meant to be lived in relationship,
right. Yeah.
Not like outside of our relationship with him.
Yeah, so nothing's like 100%, because he doesn't make our decisions for us. We still make the decisions.
Yeah.
It's just we can allow him to help us and try through prayer and that relationship to see what he wants. Because God obviously knows what's best for us, what's going to ultimately lead to the greatest happiness.
Yeah.
And we know that because God has revealed himself. Mm-hmm. So that's why, because we have a trustworthy figure, like person that we have a relationship with through prayer informing that, but we still make the decision.
We have to
respond.
Could
you repeat that?
Probably
that's
not.
That's awesome.
So that's it. That's the nail on the head. You started with the trusting and the relationship, but then any decision we make in life, whether or not we know it, whether or not it's at the forefront of our minds, it's because we want something better for ourselves, right? The reason you get out of bed, the reason you look forward to tomorrow is this thing called hope, right? We hope that our situation is going to improve. We hope that the situation of our loved ones is going to be better, that tomorrow is better than today if I put in the work. And so that drive fuels all of our decision-making. That's behind, right, our exercise of free will.
You're always trying to get a better life.
You are, and that comes from God, who is beauty, truth, goodness, and hope. The fulfillment of our hope. And so without even knowing it, even if you're atheist, agnostic, you completely don't believe in God, you're making decisions because you're grasping at what God is.
Ooh,
so,
I like that. That's sweet.
I'm glad you like that, Louis.
Yeah.
Derailed my train of thought.
Well, and like for...
No, it's good. I appreciate that.
I don't want to distract you further from your point. but for people like atheists...
Can you memorize what you just said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're making decisions because you're trying to grasp at who God is and like what God is and what he wants for you, even if you don't know it.
Yeah.
So you're not surrendering your will to God when you pursue your vocation, when you discern out of seminary, right? And I don't know what state you're in, but... Louis has a wonderful. So no matter where you are,
wow, you didn't even like say anything afterward.
Yeah, I don't want to.
That's great.
I don't want to put Louis on blast. Can we say?
Yeah.
Can we say? You go ahead and say.
I'm dating a girl named Victoria.
Hey, Victoria, what's up? So, as you discern that, as she discerns that, you're trying to move towards something that's good, true, beautiful, that fulfills your hope.
Uh-huh.
And so, when you invite God into that, you're inviting the author to help you make those decisions.
Yeah.
So we took a lot of pauses and tangents.
Yeah.
So any decision is an exercise of the will towards something that's good, true, beautiful, fulfillment of my hope, whether or not I know it.
Yeah.
When you invite God into that, you're not surrendering who you are. You're actually inviting the author, right? The goal, the ultimate goal, to help you in that process. Right.
That's so cool. And there's like something written in our hearts that like we are becoming something new.
Yep.
Like we're moving towards something. It's like this life is never stagnant. We have a desire to always have like be more. Mm-hmm. And then, like what you were saying, and that's lived in relationship with God.
That touches on that spiritual warfare topic that we said we wanted to like try to touch on.
Yep.
Because you see like the richest, the most powerful, the people that you think they've got enough.
Huh.
We mentioned like Bezos, right? We talk about Tesla on the podcast, all that stuff. Elon Musk and they, number one and two richest people in the world. Why are they still going?
Mm.
Why do they want more? It's like, haven't you had enough? There's always this like desire of, man, I'm not there yet. There's still a little bit more. I need a little bit more.
Yeah.
Maybe that extra dollar, maybe that extra power, maybe that extra capture of the market, maybe that one other thing, maybe that is what keeps us going. But the answer to that is God.
Yeah.
And when you recognize that, when you have peace with that, that's when, right, you don't see this dichotomy between who I am, who God is, and what he wants from me.
Yeah.
Right there, there's this like harmony,
yeah.
And it's just it's a daily like thing that happens in silence. It's a daily walk. It's that relationship. Yeah. It's having a prayer life, spending 15 minutes talking to your Maker, right? Talking to Jesus, who's your friend, letting him grow in you. And so that's what we want to call people to. That's what Jesus calls us to.
Yeah.
He doesn't call you to big things. He goes up to Peter and says, "Hey, follow me."
Yeah,
that's it. Are you willing to follow me?
And it's interesting because Andrew said it earlier about, you know, that free will. You know, you make the decision. You know, God throws it out there. Christ throws it out there. Hey, follow me.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to you whether you want to do it. You can reject or you can accept. It's totally up to you. God is not, for me anyway, he's not the one that's going to put a gun in my head and say, you're going to follow me because you're going to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it doesn't work that way. It's not like that.
Mm-hmm. No.
And who would believe in a God that does that? You know, I don't think half the entire universe wouldn't do that. I know I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But the free will aspect of it is extremely important. But for us, I mean, we know better because we're pretty much formed in our faith. So it's easy for us to say, yeah, you know, I guess we'll follow. But for the nominal person that's coming to church and is just starting out, that's a tough question. It's like, how do you give up? How do you give that up, you know, for God's will?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important that we surround ourselves, or those people surround themselves with people like us, or someone who is close in the faith, who is formed in the faith,
yeah,
that way we can kind of guide. We're not gonna pull them like dogs on a leash. We're not gonna do that, but at least you can guide them and show them and give them an example of what God has done for you.
Yeah, and it's because not like, hey, look that, how big my halo is.
Yeah,
come hang out with me. That's not what we're.
No,
doing
they gotta. They, you gotta be real. They gotta like, see the struggles. Yeah. They have to see the struggles. They have to see the realness of how life is in your life and in our lives and all the things that have happened and all of, you know, just the good with the bad, because if you shine it up and make it really well, you know, then you're going to be in for a big letdown, because the second you fall into the ditch, you're not going to be able to know how to get out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important, the surrounding of the people that are formed. It's great to have that. I know I didn't have that at first. And then I started having that in my process.
So not to lose sight of it. You want to make those decisions and move in that direction, and you want to surround yourself by people that are mature in their faith, and you know them by their fruit,
mm-hmm.
right? They pray, they serve, they give, they just have this presence about them that's only divinely given. But what we have to keep in mind, and what the evil one is good at doing, is distracting us and immersing us in an artificial reality that has us lose sight of the fact that we're actually a part of this cosmic struggle between good and evil.
That's spiritual warfare.
We're right in the middle of it, right? God and angels and heaven is a thing. Whether we can see it or touch it right now is a thing. The evil one, fallen angels, hell, that is a thing.
Yeah,
it's real.
And we're right in the middle of that. And so we can talk about like making decisions towards what's good, true, beautiful, what fulfills our hope. That's all good. We should strive towards that. I should strive to be healthier in my life. I should strive to be... But I'm going to fall and falter by my own weakness, but there is an evil one that works on me, right? And he doesn't want to see me succeed.
Right.
That shouldn't paralyze us. It shouldn't be a source of fear, but just to be mindful of, this is the landscape that I'm in.
I think there's a line by C.S. Lewis that he says that there's no neutral ground in eternity. It's all being claimed either by God or by the devil.
Mm.
It's like everything that we do, there's nothing neutral about our lives. No matter what we're doing or what we're thinking, like it's either good or bad.
I think
the evil one wants us to think there is neutral ground, because then we get lazy, we get soft, we fall into a comfort zone. It's like, this decision doesn't matter. Like, already, God doesn't care about this.
I already did like good all day. I can just like do whatever I want.
Well, and that's the checklist mentality again.
Yeah. And God wants you to relax too. Like, it's not like relaxing is bad. Yeah. But, like, God wants that. But like, I don't know. Just like,
thinking about it. What comes to mind for me with that is, you know, it's really easy to try to grow in your faith and follow God more out of fear of hell and the devil than out of love. I think for many people, well, no, I should say, I think that's the inspiration for a lot of people. Yeah. It's like the only reason I go to church every Sunday is I'm trying to do the minimum to not go to hell.
I would
like agree. Some people have that attitude.
I would agree with that.
But I think with spiritual warfare, you're saying that you got to be careful not to get like paralyzed out of that fear of like the devil and stuff. I think the number one thing to fix that is to stay close to God.
Yeah.
I think that's the answer to all of it. And then this is a separate thought, but something with the devil is he's a great deceiver. So oftentimes, especially if we're not close to God, he'll try to make things that we think are good, or he'll try to make sins look good to us so that we'll choose the sins and then think that we're actually choosing something good for ourselves. And if you're not close to God, then he can get away with it. But that's why you got to keep that strong relationship with
Absolutely.
God.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
So we've been talking about it tangentially, but I want to just lay these principles out there, and they kind of summarize spiritual warfare, which we're veering into. So first one's know who you are.
Ooh.
Number two, remember we're at war. We jumped right into that one. You're in the middle of like this cosmic struggle.
You're in war.
You got to, if we can edit this, which we can't, put that like Sparta scene from 300.
This is where we hold them. This is where we fight.
But remember we're at war. Know the tactics of your enemy. Keep your peace, right? If you stay grounded and close to God.
Yeah.
Need to know your weakness. You have to know where he can attack you. Like, what does draw me away from God? What does cause me to fall into sin? Need to have a Holy Spirit-inspired specific strategy. That's a mouthful.
Whoa, wow, that's a lot.
Need to have a Holy Spirit-inspired specific strategy. When I hear that, what do I hear? You're always calling on the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You're asking him to move and to inform your life. The way we pray here at St. John the Evangelist, we start every prayer with, come, Holy Spirit. We invite others to call down the Holy Spirit and to let him guide our actions.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And then remember the Lord, right? Ever keeping your sight ever locked in on him. So those are seven principles that I caught synthesized online that I wanted to share because we started talking about them. But it's so easy to lose sight of those principles, right? It's not something you have to memorize. I'd rather you memorize the Beatitudes and the Commandments and try to live them. But to be mindful of, don't get sucked in your artificial reality.
Yeah.
Look up instead of just looking down all the time.
Or even when we're doing good things, I think this is a way maybe that the devil can tempt and infiltrate like our own decisions when we are disciples too, is that we can do good things for the wrong reasons. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't do good things. We should always do good things even when we do it for the wrong reasons. But we should like let ourselves be purified in that. Like I mean like Jesus talks about in the Gospels a lot of you know, doing good in secret. Because he's so aware that it's so easy for us to do good to be seen by others.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I think when we do start like living as disciples, there's this huge temptation to make it about us instead of God.
You know, so we had this huge Thanksgiving drive, and not to criticize people, but it's always interesting when people talk about why they do it. Because some people will say like, oh, I'm like trying to, you know, take an action in my faith to grow deeper. I'm trying to like go more outward, that kind of stuff. You know, great motives.
Yeah.
But then some people, it's fascinating. They're like, it makes me feel good.
Yeah.
And
is a good thing.
Yeah, it's not
doing
bad.
Good makes you feel
it's
good.
A good thing.
It's just interesting how like all of these things, including prayer, like some people pray because it makes them feel good.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating how that can be a motive. And if it's not watched closely, it can actually be a bad thing.
Because
it can turn
now you're chasing that feeling.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. Okay.
You chase that feeling, and that's such a temptation that we start to use, oh, the devil made me do it, as like the biggest excuse to sin, to justify a sin. Even if you don't think it's that bad, I mean, you're still sinning.
Mm-hmm.
But you pass it. I mean, listen, the honest truth is we're a society that we like to pass the buck. That's as simple as that.
Yeah.
We want to pass the buck.
I mean, Adam and Eve since then too.
Yeah. And that's just how it is. We like to just, you know, it's not so bad.
Yeah.
And the devil is a master tactician.
Yeah.
And that's how he likes to just throw those little darts.
Yeah.
So when somebody gives him the credit and says the devil made me do it, can you imagine him in Hades down just like, I didn't do that. What was you?
It's like you're the but one with the free will.
Yeah, and those consequences are, I mean, they're eternal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you're not, if you don't have that self-awareness to understand that, then you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta step your game up a little bit.
And I love that first point because know who you are. At first, I was thinking more of the, you know, philosophical, like know thyself kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then ultimately, part of knowing who you are is knowing that you're a child of God.
Yeah.
God already won the battle. Like, yeah. if you're there, if you recognize that,
yeah.
you're good to go. So if you just stay close to God, all of those other points fall in line.
That's so. Where that last point, so the first one is know who you are. Seven, remember the Lord.
Yeah, it's,
everything else in between is like they're trying to give you tools and tips. And,
yeah.
But if you
yeah.
know who you are, you're a child of God, and you know that God is one and all your trust is in him, then it's all gravy. It's like, yeah. all right.
It's all gravy.
Yeah, I have to work towards the Lord and to yeah. be mindful not to fall. And when I do fall, to get back up. And there's ways I can get back up.
Yeah.
Go to
yeah.
confession, seek out, you know, assistance, yeah. What have you. But like God's one and we're a part
yeah.
of that.
Yeah. Yeah, and like God's voice in our life is the one that's drawing us closer to him. And like the devil's yeah. voice in our life is the one that's drawing us away from the Lord.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I don't know, like even just like.
He's gotten so creative though, like with the advent of the internet,
yeah.
the ways that he draws us away, mm-hmm. like the internet brought us together, but also separated us at the same time.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I can pick up the phone right now, just in my pocket, all human information's right there,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, it's a Google search away. I could see my family in Jordan right now if I wanted mm-hmm. to. But at the same time, I don't know my neighbor.
Yeah.
Right? It's so easy for me to disconnect from my wife, from my kid, from my parents, and just zone out. And we all do it. Mm-hmm. It's so easy. That's it. It's yeah. not like confrontational or hostile. It's like, all right, after dinner, pop out the phones, get on Netflix, tablet, yeah. laptop. It's just so easy.
And for many people, that's even in the church.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's be real. I mean, we're, you know, we can get up and go to church now.
Yeah.
You know, we can do that now. But technology has gone so far that it's even in you wanting to go to mass, but then it's like, no, I think I'll just
put on the live stream.
Yeah, today. I'll live stream it so that way I don't have to wake up at X and just now. I'm not going to judge anybody that does that because I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying that it's something just to be really yeah. aware of because it can lead to that where, okay, well, you know, it's 9 o'clock. I don't feel like getting dressed. I'll just pop it on the live stream while I'm cooking my breakfast or doing something
yeah.
and just listen to it. And that's, where are you, where is that kenosis? Where is that emptying of self? You know, where is that sacrifice? Where is that trade-off where you can give God 1 hour
mm-hmm. yeah.
To watch him pray?
And with this conversation with technology, I think it's doubly difficult because with like being a zombie, basically zoning out with social media or taking the easy way out, it's so easy to do, and it really doesn't feel like such a grand thing. Because like certain vices, like, you know, alcoholism, pornography, things like that, those are like almost more concrete things that are like seem more like grand if you fight yeah. it. But something like taking out your phone and scrolling through social media for
30
minutes, it just doesn't seem like a big deal.
Yeah.
Even though it does, it hurts us. It hurts us as individuals.
And we all do
others.
It.
Yeah.
Louis and I were talking about this earlier. Yeah, I heard there's like this image. I think Joe Rogan, I heard one of his like motivational little clips on YouTube. But then you apply that in like the spiritual sense. Like, if you had a crew that just followed you around, if Bob and Mike, our media team, just like followed you with a boom mic and a camera, and they were just watching and recording everything you did, and then they were going to play it back to you, what would you want to be on that? What would you want to see in that video?
Yeah.
Would you want to see just like hours of you staring at your screen, or, you know, uh-huh. getting angry over the silliest thing, or cutting that person right. off in the car? It's like when you start actually like examining your life in that way, like, and the reality is that's why placing ourselves in that cosmic, you know, field, God is watching.
Mm-hmm.
The evil one's watching too, but God is watching. And it's not like Big Brother over your shoulder. It's like there's going to be one day in my life where you flip forward a couple pages and circled in red is going to be the date that I stand before God and
right.
I call to account for all the things that I've done in my life. And we can picture him playing back the video of our life and saying, you know, you did that. You know, you shouldn't have done that. Or you did that and you shouldn't have done that. And the more things that we shouldn't have done, we're distancing ourselves from God. But the beautiful thing is we can do things that fulfill us, that draw others closer to God, and that draw us closer to God. And so we can see those things as well. Mm-hmm. And it's like, let me pursue that. Not the high is nice, right? Mm-hmm. Feeling good for doing good things is nice. Mm-hmm. Avoiding hell is also nice. But let me actually do things that in the end is going to draw me closer mm-hmm. to God and make me feel better about who I am. Mm-hmm. Because it's actually making me better.
And the honest truth for me, honestly, in hearing that, I think that that's what makes the devil angry more than anything else. It's not the fear of going to hell or doing the things that you were talking about. It's loving your neighbor, doing the things that Christ asks us to do, doing his will. Matthew 25, feeding the hungry, you know, visiting the sick, things like that, and living the Beatitudes. Living those things are what makes the devil really angry mm-hmm. because we're not focused on the devil. We're more focused on what Christ wants us to do. Mm-hmm. So that's when all the attacks, you know, they start to come in our society and the distractions and all these things. Now, you know, now we're on the devices and now we're not feeding our brothers and sisters. We're not treating them with the dignity of the human person. We're not doing these things that Christ wants us to do because we're so distracted by the devices and by all these other things. So, I mean, I think it's important to focus on what Christ wants us to do mm-hmm. and just follow his lead. Be as Christ-like as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, it could be hard for some, but, I mean, you want to fight in a war? You're going to get hit in the battle, but
I mean,
take the hits. Take it on the chin for Christ.
That's what I love about, so SJE Plus, that hosts the Catholic Life podcast, our mission is to bring Jesus. Like, to bring Jesus, you've got to be Jesus. He doesn't, like we said, he doesn't be great if Jesus just, like, popped up every once in a while. I'm like, no, for him to do that, he wants to work through the Holy Spirit to be present in us. And so pray, Lord, may others see you in me and may I see you in others.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And,
yeah.
And move and work towards that.
Yeah.
So if we can leave anyone with maybe some like last thoughts, practical thoughts, what would they be?
Listen, not everybody could be Mother Teresa and feed thousands upon thousands of hungry people on the streets of Calcutta. Not everybody could do that. But we can do little things. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be loving to your neighbor. Okay? You can say hello to somebody that you don't like. You know, do something that's, hey, I can't stand Louis, man. I can't stand this dude. Talk to the hand. Anyway.
It comes out.
But, you know, just doing these little things that are challenging.
Talk to the hand. I haven't heard that in forever.
That's
you want to talk about, we were talking about LL Cool J before the podcast. That's another oldie. Talk to the hand.
Yep. What is it? The Lord loves
classics.
Yeah, the Lord loves Khalil.
Yeah, LL Cool J.
Yeah. But these things, you know, just little things lead to big things, and that's something that I take at work. Little cases lead to big cases. If you mm-hmm. just follow that one little lead, you'll break the big case. You know, mm-hmm. it's kind of how it is in spiritual warfare. Just be aware of your surroundings.
Yes.
You know, look around. Head
what triggers you? What doesn't trigger you?
Like, yeah. I always apply. I always apply my work to my faith. In some form or fashion. I don't live them the same, but the concepts are the same. I'm always head on a swivel, you know, when it comes to my faith spiritually. You know, I'm always careful about the things that I do, especially in public, because I'm a public figure and people are watching. There's cameras all over the place. And the same thing for me is in the spiritual realm. People are watching. I'm going to be a deacon soon, and I don't want people seeing me in a way that's not
going to lead them astray.
That's not going to lead me astray or be a stumbling block for somebody else or for me.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want them to, the sinful deed. What good am I going to be up there if I can't bring people to Christ in that fashion? Yeah. So it's a lot of it is just spiritual awareness.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up that last thing. I don't know. How are we doing on time, guys? 2 minutes? That's what we got? Man, I you mentioned like spiritual warfare in the church. I wanted to bring up the McCarrick thing because that just happened.
Yeah.
Oh, we a minute and a half. I was like, yeah, no.
Yeah,
that'll take days.
That's a separate episode, yeah.
That's another podcast, unfortunately. Yeah. But and it's an unfortunate situation, and it brings to heart exactly what we're talking about, because we focused on spiritual warfare like in your personal life, but what keeps people from the church is because the church is also in the middle of this spiritual battle, and we're so public,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and we're a huge target, mm-hmm. and there are people that rise up in the church that probably aren't there in the best interest of the church,
mm-hmm.
And that can mm-hmm. keep people away from fullness in the community that Jesus left for us.
Yeah.
So, yeah, probably save that one for the next time, huh? Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
For sure.
I really like what Ray was saying, though, about, like, just taking little steps to grow closer to God. Because, like, when you take the little steps, it might not seem like you're doing much, but then when you look back after years of these little steps, you know, you might have gone this huge distance, right? These leaps and bounds in your faith. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes it's just that little step to go deeper. So
absolutely.
To someone I think else, that's a huge takeaway, because a lot of people don't think about that. Yeah. It's the little things.
And imagine those little things. You may not think it's anything, but to someone else, it's the world.
Mm-hmm. Or even like 15 minutes on social media that you waste every day might seem like a little thing, but then when you add that 15 minutes every day for a whole year, it's like all of a sudden you literally have days of time that you wasted. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like these little things add up. And in that case, it's more a sinful thing. But if you cut out that little thing, mm-hmm. it can lead you to grow in virtue and closer to Christ.
Like trying the 1% challenge?
Yep. Mm. Shout out.
15 minutes a day?
Yeah, spent in prayer with God. Change your life 1%. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So small steps, that's what we're saying.
Small baby steps.
Small steps towards God. All right, guys, that was great. Do we wrap it up with a prayer on the podcast, or do we do that afterwards? We do it on the podcast? Okay. Ray, do you want to lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Amen. Oh, good and gracious God, we thank you for the opportunities to gather together in friendship and fellowship, to talk just about you, Lord, and to tackle these subjects that matter in our church and our faith, Lord. We ask that as we walk out of here today, for all the people that are watching this podcast or listening to this podcast, that they may be inspired to do your will in one way or the other, and that they can say yes to your call, Lord. And we ask this through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, the Virgin Mary, who always prays for us, Lord. And we ask this in your most holy name. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Well, I felt that one.
That was good.
Thank you, my brother. Amen.
Thanks for being with us, Ray.
Thank
this
you.
Has been fun. We're going to have you back.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Pace Benedictus.
Oh, yeah. Mike's usually the like, share, subscribe guy, but we'll take it over. Unless you want to jump in, Mike? You good? Yep. So like, share, subscribe. First, we want you to watch. Yep. Watch, enjoy. Hopefully you get something out of this. And then share it. Help us get the message out. And then you can find us on YouTube at St. John Parish or at sjeplus.org.
Don't forget to comment with ideas or any questions, thoughts.
Mm-hmm. And if you address Khalil, just call him the fiery Arab.
The fiery Arab.
Or you can call him LL Cool.
LL Cool K. I like it. Thank you, Ray. Be safe. Be blessed.